$4.95.
Wow, you got him up in the choir at least. Come on, talk to me, see.
Him $4.95.
Had a good afternoon. Where'd Brother Eugene go? There you are. Where'd Mrs. Eugene go? There you are. had a good time of lunch with them. Pray for Pastor Keeter. He's going to drive home tomorrow. A man in his church who does the sound booth, so it'd be like Jamie, didn't come to Sunday school this morning. They thought something was strange about that. Went to his house. He died of a heart attack today. So that would be like us losing Jamie or Matt. You know, so that's a big load on a pastor, big load on a church. You pray for their church as they go home. But he loved the Lord, faithfully served God. So their church is going to go have a funeral, and so you just pray for him. Brother Keeter, if you ever, Elizabeth City, North Carolina, just up from that is a place called Eatonton. Beautiful little town, a lot of history there. It's right on the water. If you're ever in that area, vacationing or visiting, make sure you go find him. He's a good pastor friend. Supported Maggie and I when we were missionaries. And then, in fact, preaching at that church is where I met Nathan before he became the pastor. Now Nathan's going to go work in Africa. So it's cool to see that. And brother, thank you for being with us. And I'll have forever in my mind that God loves the odd bird. And
man,
he said that message was just for me because I'm odd. You're not supposed to laugh about that. So thank you for being with us. Looking forward to with Brother Eugene. I just want to share this, and then that way he can just come up and preach. Do you have slides or anything, or you just?
I do. I just never.
Do you? I mean, have you shown these ones here before?
I have two videos. I've shown this one of them in 2019, and the other one is the promotional video from Brother Henry, and you already support his ministry.
Okay.
So basically,
yeah. Okay. All right. Then we'll just let you preach. I'm saying, if you wanted to, we could do that.
I am the video.
All right, no problem. But I do want to mention that I talked to him a little bit today, and one of the things that I'd love to do as we move forward, we've been trying to catch up with our missionaries, try to find out what they're doing more on a daily basis, and look at how maybe we can do more than just support them monthly. So I was talking to Brother Eugene, and they do, and you have to help me if I get this wrong, but they do a ministry where they'll do a conference to Christians in that area. And they'll invite other churches, they'll invite other Christians to come, and it's 2 days long. And they provide the food and the things that are associated with that. And then during that conference, they help those Christians to be equipped to be able to reach the Jews in their area. And it's a good time of fellowship, a good time of outreach, a good time of training. He said, in order to do that, it takes about $3,000 to put on one of those conferences. So here's what I'd like to do, what I'd like you guys to pray about. I'd like to pray about our church covering one of those conferences. And then next October, well, we're going to go over there and be a part of that conference.
So that would be the conference.
Yeah. So at that conference that we would do, we'd do it next October. And I can... You know, it'd be easy for me to do it. I'll just on the way through. But we'll take whoever wants to go and sit in Ukraine, visit Brother Eugene and what he's doing, have a part in putting on one of those conferences there. As he, and you know, maybe that's something you can't do, and so you can help him do that. But I think that'd be really neat to be able to go over there. I tell you what I like about him, and there's a lot of because I do what he does. There's a lot of pastors that are a little gun shy about national pastors, but I promise you, dollar for dollar, you find a national that's a good investment. He speaks the language, know, he lives there, he doesn't have to leave. If there's a heartache, he's staying with those people. And I personally want to get behind, you know, national ministries like that.
Man.
His son is wanting to go into the ministry. And Armenia, did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
That's where he wants to go. I talked to him for a young man to go to Armenia and be a missionary full time. He said it would take about $1,200 a month. If you sent a missionary, an American missionary, to go do that very same thing, you're probably looking at $7,000-$8,000 a month. And that's just the expense of moving a whole family over there. They're used to the culture, they're used to the environment, and you know, he's just starting the process. But if the Lord allows us to go over there, one of the things I want to do is go see what his son's going to do in Armenia. And if that's true, that you can get a young man on the ground preaching the gospel for $1,200 a month, well, that's something you want to see, you know, and push, right? He doesn't have to learn the language. He doesn't have to get a visa, you know. All he's got to go over to is set up shop, because we don't know how long of a window America has, right? But what we want to do is ensure that no matter what happens, that places like like Ukraine and a place like that can carry on with the gospel. But, you know, they need our help, you know? I mean, you guys have supported Brother Eugene for years. What you're doing is you're putting a national, you're helping a national man be able to be full-time reaching his people. Because the churches there just aren't at that level yet. I mean, it's still, Brother Eugene was telling me, it wasn't that long ago that Ukraine would have been considered third world. You know, now that's changed some, but you know, like what do you think is the largest independent Baptist church in Ukraine?
The largest one would be 1,500 people.
Yeah, independent Baptist church.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be independent. It's a Baptist union similar to Southern Baptist.
Okay, so let's just say independent Baptist.
By 350 maybe.
All right, so independent Baptist church, biggest one in Ukraine, 350 people.
Yeah.
All right, that's. And there's not how many of them are like there.
Well, the statistic is our city is 1.2 million people in population. Only 10 Baptist churches in the city. And
yeah.
How many churches do you have here in the area?
Yeah, more than 10. Yeah, more than 10.
And how big is
yeah,
the area?
Yeah, 22, yeah. So the idea is that there's not enough churches there that can fund the mission themselves yet. Not yet. Well, that's where, I mean, we are blessed beyond measure in America.
Amen.
That we're not only able to take care of ministry here, but God's blessed us enough to reach around the world, amen?
Amen.
Right? And I just think that would be a really good project to take on. You know, we've got plenty of time to do it. You know, and if you want to go, you can get on that trip. We'll head over to Ukraine and be a part of that conference that they're going to do some evangelism and preaching in Ukraine. He told me he'd take me up to the front lines. Amen. that just took the rest of the crowd out. But you can stay at the hotel. Him and I will go. But maybe that's something to pray about. You know, he said a round trip ticket there is about what $800. You know, and I think that would be. That would be good for our church. You've been supporting that ministry for a long time. It'd be really neat to get some shoes on the ground, be a part of something else that he's doing on a bigger scale, especially since, you know, his family's Ukrainian, right? You know, and you started two churches there, and the people in there, most of them you've led to the Lord.
The one that we're at right now, yes.
Right.
And the other one, too,
so I'll say this, a lot of times people say Paul was a tent builder, right? But what would you rather have Paul doing? Building churches or building tents? What would be the best use of his abilities?
Building churches.
Building churches, right? We don't need Eugene having to work a part-time job. He needs to be full-time for Jesus because he speaks the language. He lives there. That's his home. Man, push till Jesus comes, right? And I think it would be good to get behind him. So you guys pray about that. We've got plenty of time to pull that off. But I'm all right. You got one guy going to Ukraine, all right? And obviously I'm going. So Maggie's in. You know, she said she'd like to go. I just enjoyed being around. You know, obviously I love America, but boy, I tell you what. Once you've seen the fields, hard to forget about them. Right?
Amen.
They are truly white on the harvest, you know? So, and there's just so many different beautiful people out there. And I'm excited about hearing you preach. Enjoyed lunchtime with you. And I'm good to spend time with my pastor friend today. You want to go to Ukraine? Okay, there you go. All right. All right, Brother Ron, you come sing for us.
All right. If everybody please stand and get that red hymn book and turn to hymn number 2A. Our brother deacons come forward to receive the offering.
He's in the red.
Brother Michael, would you ask blessing and offering, please?
Amen. death can never enter. No lonely graves on the hills of God. I walk by waters clear and peaceful, where wicked men shall never trod. On the sunny banks,
on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance,
happy freedom land, my immortal home. I'm going there to live when life is over. On the sunny banks,
on the sunny banks
of my home, sweet home. There's a valley green,
there's a valley green
where the warm winds whisper.
Didn't mean to take up so much time, but Brother Eugene asked us today if we were going to sing, and we said, well, maybe not. We let somebody else. And he said, well, do you know that every time I've been to your church, you've sang? And I felt like a sponge Christian. I soak it up, and it takes a little pressure to get the juice out of it. So, you pray for us. We'll try to be a blessing to you.
Never lived in a mansion, but I will someday. And I've never sung with an angel, but I will someday. Someday when all my life is over, Jesus calls me up on high. I've never looked upon my Savior, but I will someday. Now I've never walked the streets so golden, but I will someday. Never seen the book of life unfolding, but I will someday. Someday when all my life is over and Jesus calls me up on high, I've never looked upon my Savior. I will someday when all my life is over and Jesus calls me up on high. I've never looked upon my Savior, but I will someday. Yes, I will someday.
And I thought, man, I wonder what it takes to go to the Ukraine. I need to ask those about that. And I'm not just saying that.
I know.
That's why I volunteered to go. That's why I go to Ukraine. Because the Holy Spirit put that on my heart, I believe.
Amen.
So listen, I'd rather go to Africa than anywhere. But man, I tell you what, I'd just go anywhere I bring.
Amen.
And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit still speaks to me.
Amen.
And you know why that makes me so glad? Because that's one way you know the truth is.
Amen.
Yes.
And come to God, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And I'm just glad to be back in Helen Wood. And just pray about, for me, I don't know, it seems like sometimes it's so easy for me to get discouraged anymore. And I know we ought not to do that as believers, but I tell you what, there's people out there dying and going to hell, and sometimes it seems like those of us that say that we're saved don't care. But I care.
Amen.
I care. I mean, I've got a sister that I don't know whether she's saved or not. She wouldn't let me talk to her. And she bothered me. She upset me. Because I know what discouraged her and got her out of church. But I'll see you next year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a blessing. Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Bless you. I was always sure of that the Holy Spirit does work here at this church. You can always feel His presence, and I thank the Lord for bringing us back here again. The Stevens brothers, you got to travel with me wherever I go to preach now. You're going to sing before I get up, because that does something to the people, and I praise the Lord for your singing. Thank you so much for having us tonight. I always say this is the most united, divided church. And I always remind myself to look both ways. And so praise the Lord for today. I was really blessed to be with you in this morning service. Thank you, brother, for that sermon, and looking forward to what God has for us tonight. We've been looking forward to our visit with you. I told Pastor Barnhouse not to announce that I'm going to be preaching tonight. Would have been more people here tonight, but he didn't. He still announced me. But thank you, Pastor Barnhouse, for your kindness, for really your mission-minded heart. And really, if you would have a group coming to Ukraine, we'll host you, we'll cater to you, we'll do everything that we can possibly do so you could be productive and you can see the field and you can see what we're about there and what's going on. So if the Lord leads, if the Lord tarries, and we will see you then next year, Lord willing. Praise the Lord for this church supporting our ministry for the past 20 years. It's been 21 years. Can you believe it? Now, in the bulletin also, it said there that Brother Henry Bennick was supposed to be here tonight. And I've had some people ask me, where's Brother Henry? Well, I will bring you the greetings from Brother Henry Bennick. He says people should be thankful that I'm not here tonight, because his stepdaughter contracted COVID, and they took her in. She's not feeling well at all, asked for prayers. So Brother Henry and Sister Victoria, they're now in quarantine, making sure they don't have it. So they did not want to travel, and so he sends his regards, and sorry that he's not here tonight, but he said, Eugene, you'll have to speak for both of us. So the video that I had for him, you already know what we're doing, and so we don't have to really tell you, because you've already been supporting our ministry. But this time in the United States, my wife and I are here so we could appear in some new churches on the behalf of JAM, Jewish End Time Ministries, and tell them about the work and make them aware of the work that's been going on with Brother Henry heading it in Cuba, Ukraine, Israel, of course, the United States. And we've been successful at doing that. We've been to 4 new churches and several supporting ones. We traveled to California, and we've just been traveling back all the way from California this week. And so we'll continue on to Greenville, South Carolina, and then we'll be going back to Ukraine on the 19th of August. So we ask for your prayers. And thank you again for all the support and all the prayers you've been giving us for the past 21 years. Not just us, but the ministry, Brother Henry Bennick and Sister Victoria. So God bless you for doing that. I always say something in our own language so you could get a feel of our language. Your pastor requested we give you some of that tonight before I get into the Word of God. I asked my wife to come, if you would, briefly. You can stand where the ladies' pulpit is here. And you can, if you can quote something, like let's do verse 16 out of book of Romans and verse 16 out of book of John. John 3:16.
Ибо так возлюбил Бог мир, что отдал Сына Своего Единородного, дабы каждый верующий в Него не погиб, но имел жизнь вечную.
That's for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's how the translation goes. The person says, and then the translator, they didn't call me translator, they didn't call me interpreter, they called me the interrupter. So, and do Romans 1:16.
Я не стыжусь благовествования Христова, ибо оно есть сила ко спасению всякому верующему.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's how our language sounds. Thank you, Olga.
And I just wanted to add a couple words. So 25 years ago, Americans came, and they were not pastors or missionaries. They were just people, dedicated Christians. They were people from Mississippi, Ohio, Tennessee. And they just gave out tracts on the street, and Eugene got saved. Next year they came, and it was just a short trip. I got saved. We came back home, we came back to our country. Victoria Bennett, she was saved. And you know, it's what mission's about. People come, and you just a short trip, and you change lives. So,
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. You all know our testimonies, how I was just a second-year student at the university translating for Americans who came to our city. And I did not know anything about the Bible, and I did not know anything about God, but I was presented with the gospel. And on that night, it was 1993. Yo, yo.
Church had Bible stuff stacked up waiting for that wall to fall. And when it fell, they were able to flood that area. And I can remember hearing trips. Well, during that time, that's when he got saved, because somebody was looking for an open door, and there's something about that open door. Right. There's no good for the wall to come down and nobody goes.
Right. Yeah, I remember we had so many Bibles that we built a fort. Just boxes of Bibles, and there were so many people lining up to get them. Brother Henry at one time said, all right, at the count of three, we opened the boxes, and as soon as we opened the boxes, we literally had to get onto the bus, not to be stampeded, you know, not to be run over by people. By the time we were done, there were no Bibles left, there were no boxes left, there were no rope left that had the Bible, the boxes, everything was gone. That was the first meeting we had was 17,000 people in the Republican Stadium. The last meeting we had 15 years later, we had about 500 people. That shows you how disinterested the people became. And Brother Keeter, talk about this music, worldly music that is out there you were part of. There is a very famous song here in the United States, Highway to Hell, you know. And then there's another song, I guess it's a Christian song, Staircase to Heaven. So that pretty much tells you about the anticipated traffic, right? People are dying and going to hell, and they're disinterested in the gospel. And so it's same way in Ukraine, like I told you, such a big city and only 10 Baptist churches. We're praising the Lord that we're there, that the zeal is the same, the mission is the same. And, of course, we are there on the ground, and we praise God. It's been 20 years for us. They call us veteran missionaries these days. I mean, I don't feel old, but I guess I am getting old. But thank you so for always opening your arms and receiving us here at this church. And we just praise the Lord for churches and Americans that are going out and bringing the gospel to where they go, Africa or Ukraine, as long as we go, right? We got to go. And this is with the Jewish people. If you don't go to them first, like we quoted the verse, go to them last. But go. And thank you for going with us. Please know that everything we accomplish in our ministry in Ukraine also is credited to your account, as we are your extended arm there in Ukraine, and we'd like to think we're doing a good job representing you. Praise God. Thank you. I do not want to take away from what the Lord has for us tonight. I do not want you to feel like you're trying to drink from a fire hydrant listening to me, okay? So I will speak slow, but you'll have to listen fast, because I've got so much. As Sometimes I feel like a mosquito that landed on the elephant's back thinking to himself, I know why I'm here, I just don't know where to begin. But really, and again, being a missionary to the Jews, I really want to leave some Jewish flavor with you tonight as well. And if we all go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 11 and 12, there are several verses we'll refer to, but I would like to read, to start off with, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 10, 11 and 12. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Heavenly Father, I pray to you tonight that you would bless the breaking of your word, that you would bless everything you have for these dear people. I ask for the hearts that will listen and for the minds that will be made to serve you and live for you. I pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Here we see in this passage of Scripture, really, and we will read several verses, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9. Apostle Paul is actually giving this Christian church, it's a church in Corinth, a history of Jewish people, a history lesson. He's taking them to where the Jewish people were in the wilderness, and he's telling them about how the things went there in the wilderness, and he applies it to the New Testament church that is found here in Corinth, in the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you know anything about the Bible, if you know anything about the New Testament and the church in Corinth, you'd know how carnal that church was, at least in the first letter that he writes to them. In the second letter, they, of course, repent. But he's referring to the events that happened many, 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 many years ago, actually thousands of years ago, and he says that all these things that happened to the Jewish people in the wilderness, they happened unto them so they could serve as examples for us living in this day and age. He says, upon whom the worlds have come. He says in verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we see a clear warning. Paul is saying, beware. There is a good possibility that you may fall if you do not take heed of whatever I'm saying. And so what is he talking about? He's taking them to the history of the Jewish people, and I read from verses 5 and 6 and 7 from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says here, but with many of them God was not well pleased. That's the Jewish people. But they were overthrown in the wilderness. So we see how they all fell in the wilderness. Actually, all of those that God was not well pleased with, they all stayed in the wilderness. They all died in the wilderness. None of them entered the promised land. And so as we read in verse 12, take heed lest ye fall. So there is a danger of falling. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And we'll go on reading. We'll see how Paul compares the Jewish people with Christians. He compares the nation of Israel with the church. And he says in verse 7, he says, neither be ye idolaters. Now, these things were our examples. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Was Christ there that they really tempted him? That's a good thought. But so, everything that he's talking about is applicable to today's church as well. And so all these things that he's talking about, I'm not going to be preaching about all these things, although that would be a good ground to preach on every one of those things, because all these sins are apparent in some churches and in the lives of Christians today. I would like to speak of four other things that God has given to the nation of Israel that he has also given to us as Christians. Now, we read about how they lusted after evil things, how they were being idolatrous, how they were committing fornication, how they were murmuring. And in all of that, they were tempting Christ. And that's why, as we read, they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's why, how we read, they all fell. And so Paul warns us, and he says, take heed lest you fall. All these things are written for our admonition, and I would like for us to be admonished tonight, talking about four other things that God gave to the nation of Israel that he also has given to us as Christians. What are those things?
If you think about the nation of Israel and how close they are to God and how they're loved by God, the Bible says that he found them in the wilderness, that he led him about, he instructed them, he kept them as the apple of his eye, talking about the Jewish people. So the Jewish people were very dear to God, and at one time when they were all in the wilderness, God gave them the first thing that, one of the greatest things that someone can receive, it was the law. God gave them the law. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So the greatest, actually one of the greatest things that God could have given to his dear people was the law. And that's something that you and I, we, as Christians, receive from God. We received our Bible. Now, when the Jewish people received the law, it distinguished them immediately from all the other people that lived in that time. When they received that law showed them. That was the purpose of that law. When God gave them the law, it was supposed to show them. Show them right from wrong. So that's we as Christians today, we have our Bible. That's how we know things. And it is so very important for us to realize what a treasure we hold in our hands. The Jewish people at that time, can you imagine having something in your hand that you have an insight into the mind of God? This is probably the most holiest thing on earth today. The Bible says the law is good. And really, if you had to, if somebody offered you silver and gold and the Bible, what would you take? Peter said at one time, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee, and rise up and walk. And by the power of God, he raised the lame man who could walk again. So silver and gold have I none, but I have the Word of God. And this is the most precious thing that can be given to me. That's what the Bible shows me, right from wrong. That's what the Jewish people had. How do we know that if a woman has whatever she has in her stomach, in her belly, is not just a fetus, it's a new life. And it cannot be aborted. It's not just her body that she can do whatever she wants with it. It's God's child that is in there. You know, that's how we know it from the Bible. That how do we know that a person is not born as a man and he wants to be a female because he thinks he was born a female? And vice versa. How do we know that homosexuality is bad? Because we know from the Bible, because Amen. That shows us. Amen. The law of God shows you right from wrong. It distinguishes from all the other people. And that's what the Jewish people received from God. What did they do with it? Sadly, they defied it. They defied the law of God. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, it says in chapter 9, verse 5, it says, we have sinned and have committed an iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. That's what happened to the Jewish people. You wonder why they fell? Well, that's exactly why they fell. And if you know anything about the history of Israel, you know how they would rebel against God. And their rebellion was, they have done wickedly in rebelling because they deserted his precepts and his judgments. And the Jewish people would be led into captivity. They would repent and they would be brought back into the promised land. It would go back and forth. Every time they fell, it was because they departed from God's law. He gave them the law, it showed them, and they defied it. If you see any Christian that ever falls, it's not an immediate thing that happens to him, that falling. It's a gradual process. You know, I always like to say that Eutychus, who was on the third floor, that he fell off the third floor. Why did he fall? Well, because at one certain point of time, it was more of him on the outside than on the inside. That's why he fell. It didn't just flip over. It was a gradual process. So you depart from God's precepts. You depart from his law. You depart from the Bible. There's more of you in the world than in the church. And that's why we fall. The Jewish people had the law from God that showed them right from wrong, but they defied it. Oh, how sad it is to see Christians today that defy the Word of God. They fall. And Paul said those were examples for us not to fall. So if we do fall, it is our own fault that we did not take God's Word for what it's meant to show us and to obey it. The next thing that God gave to the Jewish people was the land. The greatest present that the Jewish people could receive outside the law at that time was the land. And the Bible describes that land to us. We read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 6, it talks about how that land flows with milk and honey. The Bible actually calls that land that Israel received as the glory of all lands. Now, you may think that America is the glory of all lands, and I traveled your country, been to 31 states, and we've been to many, many places. Beautiful country. I love Ukraine, and I think it's the glory of all lands, but it's not. God somehow says that Israel is the glory of all land. That's what the Jewish people received from God. You know that today Jewish people only possess 25% of that land that was given to them by God back in the Old Testament days. And of course, most of it was given away for the promises of peace, you know, because the Arab world today wants piece of that and piece of that and piece of that land. But the Jewish people at that time possessed the greatest land that was ever, you know, it's in the center of the world. If you open the map, if you look at the globe, and you will see in the middle, the 33rd parallel, it lines up with Pensacola, Florida, by the way, that's where Israel is today. And God calls that particular land the glory of all lands. That's what the Jewish people received. They received the best from God. Now, when God gave them that land was supposed to sustain them. And it did. Even today, you know, the Jewish people in the land of Israel today, they crop 2 to 3 crops a year. They have crops like, I mean, that land is flourishing. It's an oasis in the wilderness, the most beautiful place you would think it's a wilderness, and it is. But when you go to Israel, if you go to Israel and try to make an effort and go to Israel to see how it's like, you'd be amazed at what the Jewish people did with it, because God blessed it, of course, and it's the glory of all lands even today. You know that the Israel's economy today is number 5. I think California is number 5. But it's in top 5 economies of the world, Israel's economy, per capita. This is how they count. So God definitely blesses the Jewish people even today. But back then, it was just Abraham. And then Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs. And out of nobody came this great nation. They went out of Egypt and they went into the promised land that God gave them. And so it sustained them and it made them a great nation. There was no greater nation at the time of Solomon. Solomon's rule at that time and the kingdom that he built was the greatest. You know, we as Christians, we receive something from God as well. We have our land up in heaven. And praise the Lord, the Bible says that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things written, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So that's the land. We can say it flows with milk and honey. It's the glory of all lands. That's what we have in heaven. And you know, our names are written there in heaven. We're seated in Christ Jesus in heaven. This is the greatest thing, the greatest ever thing. If the Bible is the greatest thing that we have here on earth, then heaven is the greatest thing that we have out there. If God be real, and if Bible be the Word of God, and Christ be risen, how can you not love God, and how can you not serve Him? Think about that. You got the greatest truth right here in the book. You have the greatest blessing awaiting for you in heaven. It should sustain your life here on earth, just thinking about those things. And it gives me goosebumps just talking about heaven. Because this is where my Savior is, and this is where He's advocating for me, and this is where my name is written, and I'll be spending eternity with my Lord all the years of eternity, however more many are there. But what did the Jewish people do with that great present that God gave them in the land that He gave them? Sorry to say, but they defiled it. They defiled it. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, verse 5, it says, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." That's why so many times the Jewish people had to be physically removed from their land, because the land was defiled under them because of their transgressions. And now we think about us Christians today. There's a Christian song that you sing here in this country. I really love it. It goes like this. "And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I think those are the lyrics. And the things of this world ought to grow strangely dim for us when we look at His glory and grace. We look full in His face. But you know what happens? Oftentimes, His face fades away and His face grows strangely dim, because all the things of this world are really bright for us, because we're facing the wrong direction. We have to meditate upon those things that are above. We have to look toward heaven where our salvation is drawing nigh. And see, we got this thing right wrong. I'm sorry to say that oftentimes we defile that land that God gives us by attaching ourselves to what's happening here on earth. That's what Jewish people were guilty of. And you know, we always think, oh, the Jews, they were so rebellious, they were so stiff-necked, they were so hard-headed Jews, and that's why God had to punish them. But when you make the parallels and you think about us in this day and age, and you think, hey, we're same guilty oftentimes, just like the Jewish people were. And that's why Paul is given that history lesson, says, look at their life in the wilderness. They all died there because they rebelled against God. Don't fool yourself. If you don't beware, you'll fall. If I ask you, if you want to fall tonight, would you raise your hand if you want to fall tonight in your Christian walk with God? No hands would go up. Nobody in his right mind would think that, I want to fall. Let me try that. If you do that, I think you're crazy. So our intent is, no, we want to have a straight walk with God. We want to stay firmly with God. But why do Christians fall then? Well, that's the admonition. Those are the examples, the ensamples, as Paul says, for us, that lest we fall. So let's take heed what the Bible has for us, looking at the nation of Israel. God gave them the land. It was to sustain them, but they defiled it. He gave them the law. It's supposed to show them right from wrong, but they defied it. And eventually, God gave them the greatest gift of all. He gave them the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Bible says he came unto his own. He came to the Jewish people only. God gave Jesus Christ to his people. He said at one time that he will provide himself a lamb, and talking about Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. God will foresee for himself a lamb that will be worthy to be sacrificed. And God became a lamb. So Jesus Christ came and he came unto his own. Jesus Christ said himself when he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The disciples came to him and said, this Gentile woman is after you. Do something for her. This is what he answers in the context of dealing with the Gentiles. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, are you sure? How about the Gentiles? Nope. Wouldn't even talk to that Gentile woman. He would later say, it's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Comparing a Gentile woman with a dog. That's what Jewish people today call us Gentiles, goyims, uncircumcised dogs. That was the attitude back then towards the Gentiles. And so Jesus Christ came unto his own. And when he came, the Lord came to save them. That was his mission. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation came unto his people. Who are his people? Not us. Not then. It was the Jews. The Gentiles were not included at that time. Now, were there Gentiles that were saved in the Old Testament? Sure. Were there Gentiles saved, if I may use the term loosely, during Jesus Christ's ministry? Yes. But overall, Jesus never left the nation of Israel. He always stayed geographically within Israel's borders. He always dealt with the Jewish people. He told his 70 that he sent out, and his disciples, the 12, when he sent them out, he said, go ye not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's very hard to digest for us Christians, and most of us, if not all of us, are Gentiles. You know, our background, we're Gentiles. We're now the church of God. And of course, you got to remember, and I have to say this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, it talks about three groups of people. It says there, give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. So once we're in Christ Jesus, we're not Gentiles anymore. We're the church of God. Amen. Now, that's when Jews or Gentiles, when they come to Christ, they become the church of God. That's the biblical view. But back then, when we were not saved, we were just Gentiles. And you remember how the first church thought, should we go to the Gentiles? They really debated that question. A lot of them had a problem with going to the Gentiles. The shoe's on the other foot now. A totally Gentile church now says, should we go to the Jews? But remember, they went. So should we go.
Amen.
So when Jesus Christ came, he came unto his own. He came to save them. And today we have the same Lord. Praise the Lord that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. That's us. We believed on his name. So the only way how you can come to God is believing on his name.
Amen.
If you're not saved tonight, the only way you can come to God is through Christ Jesus. There is no other mediator between man and God. That's man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other name given unto us under heaven by which we must be saved.
Amen.
That's not something to discuss, something to ponder or consider. This is something to obey. That's a commandment, direct commandment from God to come and be reconciled to God. And we are heralding that news that Christ is there for you even today. And praise the Lord that the Lord is also ours. I call him my Lord. I love him dearly. I cannot imagine being without the Lord in my life. I cannot imagine the Jewish people just be the only ones possessing him because he came to save them. But praise God that today I'm included and I'm accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
What did the Jewish people do with their Lord? I'm so sorry to say it, but they denied him. They denied him. And Jesus would stand over Jerusalem. He would cry. He would actually weep and say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I wanted to gather thee as the chicken gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. The apple of his eye, put him on the cross of Calvary." The Bible says in the book of Acts, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." That's what the Jewish people did to Jesus Christ. And you know, oftentimes that's what we do to our Jesus Christ by committing the sins that we're involved in. You know, people talk about how the Jewish people are so responsible for killing Jesus. And they are responsible. But you know, also it's the Romans that are also responsible. It says here that by the wicked hands, that's the Romans. And of course, Jesus Christ is responsible for his own death. Of course, he says, "I lay down my life willingly. Nobody takes it away from me. I have a power to lay it down. I have a power to take it again." Well, God the Father is responsible for his son's death. It's not just the Jews. God says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was God's will for Christ to die. So we cannot claim and blame the Jewish people. But if it were anybody to blame, it's you and I. Because it was our sin that put him on the cross of Calvary. So don't you say that the Jewish people are guilty, because it's you and I. And we continue to do so if we sin in our present life, being as Christians. So we cannot say, "Well, that's the Jews. They denied Christ." The Bible says, "Have they stumbled that they should fall?" No, but through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, Romans 11. He gave them the law. It showed them, but they defied it. He gave them the land, it sustained them, but they defiled it. He gave them the Lord, came to save them, but they denied him. Those are the lessons that we're learning tonight. That's what the Jewish people did, and we as Christians have this responsibility not to repeat those same mistakes that the Jewish people had. And lastly tonight, I want to say that the last thing that God did for the Jewish people, and it's very important, God made them the light. God made the Jewish people to be the light of the world. What a responsibility. Think of it. You have the law. You have the land. You have the Lord. You've got everything that you need to be equipped to be the light of the world. There's really, you're not lacking in anything to shine God's light to all the nations around you. That was God's desire for the nation of Israel from the very beginning. And let's see if I can formulate this. The nation of Israel, in principle, was what Jesus Christ was in person. If there was anyone, back in the old days, in the Old Testament days, if you were to come to God, the only way to come to God was through the nation of Israel. You had to go to Jerusalem, you had to get circumcised, you had to basically bring the sacrifices to the temple, you have to obtain the copy of the Old Testament. And so that was the way to God in the Old Testament. But Jewish people failed God in that regard. So Jesus Christ came and he in person became what God designed for the nation of Israel, which he called the Son of God.
that all now whoever wants to come to God have to go through Jesus Christ. So he made him the light, and this is what Jesus Christ tells him in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. The only Jewish people are there present in the audience. It's the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes, and it's the Sermon on the Mount as we know it. This is what he tells among many other things. He says, ye are the light of the world. He calls the Jewish people the light of the world. Okay, so he made them the light, and the light, what does the light ought to do? Ought to shine. So he designed for them to shine that light. Of course, Jesus Christ said himself that as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Up to the point when Jesus came, the Jewish people were the light of the world. That was God's design for them. When Christ came, he was the light of the world, as he said himself. And God's desire was for the Jewish people to continue to be the light of the world. But what did they do? I'm sorry to say, but they declined. They declined being the light of the world for God. But this is where we come in. We are the light of the world today. And this is what God designed for us, to shine his glory, to shine his light. So what the Jewish people rejected, in a good way, we pick up. We have home in heaven. We have the law of God, which is our Bible. We have our Savior. We have all the spiritual gifts to shine that light. And when Apostle Peter, sends his letter to the churches, and 1 Peter, I read in verse 1 Peter chapter 2. I would read several verses to you. In Matthew 5, 14, Christ told the Jewish people they're the light of the world. In verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is Matthew 5, 16. I'll read it again because we're going to read the same thing in 1 Peter. Peter telling Gentiles, the church, the same very words. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Jewish people declined that, as I said. But yet I read in 1 Peter chapter 2, I read verse 9. 1 Peter, and that's the last portion, the last scripture that I'll take you to tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. I stop here for a second. Do you realize that what we just read, all those titles, they actually belong to the nation of Israel? They don't belong, well, they do now belong to us as well, but before, that's what the Jewish people were called. They were called chosen generation, royal priesthood. They were God's priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people. Here it is, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was God's design for the Jews. Now we hear that said to us. That's what God made us now. Christians. I read verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. They stumbled, not that they should fall, but so the Gentiles could come to repentance. We quoted that verse before. It is our responsibility now to show forth and to shine forth that light that God originally designed for the Jewish people. And we continue reading verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That's 1 Corinthians 10 that we started with. Verse 11, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Those are exactly the same charges that Jesus Christ gave to the Jewish people on the Mount of Beatitude. By your good works, well, that they will behold, that they will see your conversation, that's your life, they will glorify God the Father. The day of visitation. So the task now is ours to be God's light in this world today. Here it says, abstain from fleshly lusts. You can do the two together. You can do either one. You can be involved in everything on this side with the world, or you can be involved with God and shine his light.
How much more admonition do you need? How many more examples are there for us? I really think these four are enough. Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul charges them and says, beware lest ye fall. And really looking even deeper like we just did shows us what a great responsibility we have. If you don't feel the thankfulness to God for bestowing upon you all the mercies and grace and all the gifts that he had for his people, we do not have anything less that we receive from God than the Jewish people. Our gifts are more spiritual than they're physical. You know, we don't have a particular land here in this land. We don't have a particular Savior that they saw physically. We don't see him with our eyes, but we see everything with the eyes of our faith. And so if you believe what you just heard tonight and you make up your mind that this is exactly what you're going to do, just like Peter charges the believers there, he says, let your light so shine that by your good works, what are the good works? Well, we're God's craftsmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are created unto good works. And the best work that we can ever do is to shine the light. It's to be the beacon of hope and the beacon of salvation to all around us, that they behold our conversation, our life, and how we conduct ourselves in this world. All my desire and prayer to you is for all of us, me included, that we would stand firmly lest we fall. We take the heed and everything that we heard, and especially the nation of Israel. I'm sorry to say that they fell, not that they should fall again. We do not want to fall tonight. And when we pray, I want you to really pray in your heart with everything that's been said and done tonight, that you would determine in your heart that you will be that light for God that he designed for the Jewish people, and then it's the church's responsibility now. God needs us. He doesn't really need us, but he wants us in this mission. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for all these great gifts that we receive from you throughout the history. And we thank you that we possess now our Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, that he dwells with the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you for the Bible that we receive from you that shows us the right things. We thank you for the home in heaven that we will be with you throughout eternity. But most importantly, we thank you for this mission that we receive here on earth, to be your light to the unsaved world, that everybody around us could see our good works and glorify you. God, we pray for the nation of Israel. We pray that they will repent, that they would come to Christ. The Bible says the veil is lifted when they turn to Christ. And by their example, that we want to be admonished tonight. And Father, I pray that we will make that decision to stand firmly for you, that to go out and to be a blessing to the nations around us, and to be that beacon of light in this dark world, to shine your glory and your mercy. Father, whatever the decision may be, that you will strengthen it in the Spirit, and then we will go out more strong tonight as ever before as we pray in Christ's holy and precious name for all these things. Amen. Amen. Pastor Barnhouse.
You hear